Welcome back to A Place in the Conversation. My name is Dan Neiswanger. I'm the spiritual formation catalyst at A Place in the Conversation. And I'm here with Nick Everhart and Leah Reynolds. Nick, why don't you introduce yourself?
Well, I'm a board member of the Place in the Conversation, the nonprofit organization that Dan and Nancy have started. And Dan and I have been talking for many years about many different things. And he asked me if I wanted to participate in this podcast, and so here I am. We're gonna have another conversation.
There we go, and it's fun. Every time Nick and I get together, I walk away feeling blessed. And so today we're excited to have Leah Reynolds, the executive director from CACS, join us again. But we're not talking about CACS today. We're talking about something different. If you happen to be blessed enough to be one of Leah's Facebook friends, you will find throughout her Facebook feed that she will post pictures that she's taken. She's a great photographer. And then often associated with the pictures, there's quotes that she's pulled from different places. And the quotes and the images, they match together. They come together beautifully. And if you're paying attention, they're the kind of quotes that, you know, you don't just read and dismiss easily. They're the kind of quotes that you read and they kind of make you stop and go, huh. And you know, they make you think a little bit about life and about what's going on. And so we've invited Leah to come back to just talk about her passion for photography, where that came from, and to talk about some of the quotes. You know, where does that all come from, Leah? Because it's utterly fascinating. And I do, you know, when I get stuck in that, you know, going through Facebook and, you know, you're just scrolling, and I realize that I'm stuck in that constant scroll thing, I look for one of your things to break my scroll.
Right? Oh my
because,
gosh.
Because it's a helpful thing.
Thank you.
So where does that come from for you?
It's so nice to sit down and actually have a conversation. I don't really ever talk about it. I've never been asked about it. But years ago, I picked up a camera on my way for the first time to Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. And I was going to a conference in February. And I was excited because I had a room right on the ocean. And I thought, I can't wait to get up and see sunrise. And then first light I discovered, which was a whole different experience. And it moved me. And I wanted to capture it with the camera. I wanted to capture what that made me feel. And so I've been experimenting with the camera. I've never taken a class, and I don't really call myself a photographer because I think photographers know what they're doing with the machine, right? I don't know anything about it. I just know what I'm trying to capture. So I know very little except to look for the light in the thing that it's got my attention and to really hold as still as possible. And that's the best advice I'd ever gotten, even from a real photographer for National Geographic. I met a fella down there. When he was alive, he was an awesome friend and would say those things. He's like, you don't need to know anything else about the camera. And I'm like, okay, thanks, Monty. So I have been an avid reader my whole life. I was an English major for a very brief period of time in college. And I used books to help me put words to my life and the things that I was going through and the things that life handed me and the feelings that I had. And it's carried me and help me create a language to help self-discovery and to put words around how I see or think about the world around me. And so years ago, I found that Facebook was this interesting thing, right? And my brother actually sent me this note. He says, you should really join Facebook. It's kind of cool. We can all be connected and see pictures of everybody and you stay connected that way. So I thought, okay, I didn't really want to do it. But now it's kind of interesting. I've used it for years to reveal myself in these ways. And so it is the safe way. It's a dichotomy, I suppose. I mean, there's good and bad, or paradox maybe is a better word. But so I'm completely out there, right? That's my photograph that spoke to me. And then I add the words that either came to me when I was taking the photograph or as I'm looking at it myself. And things come up for me. And it's helped me through some really tough times in my life. It has carried me through tragedy in our family, and it has also helped me see the joy in everything. So even through some of the landscapes of pain that I have been dealt, I've been able to find the light in that photo. Mm-hmm. To look for first light is to get up every day and have hope. And I have volunteered for years and years of my own life working with recovering drug addicts and alcoholics, of which I am one, for 37 years now. And a lot of folks, and myself included, many, many years ago, very suicidal, right? Despair and hopelessness. But when you're always looking for the light, that's different. And I've retrained my heart to think differently about whatever life hands me. And so instead of throwing in the towel and saying, well, you know what, I can't do it anymore, I go, okay, so what do we need to do next? Yeah. It has changed me.
Yeah.
It has helped me. It's helped me become a better person. In fact, I mean, the combination of these things that I just shared have really helped me become the person I've always wanted to be. And I was thinking about our conversation coming up today, and I wanted to share something with you. I used this quote by George Bernard Shaw a couple of days ago, and I've read it a lot since I posted it. And the quote is this: I want to be thoroughly used up when I die. For the harder I work, the more I live. I rejoice in life for its own sake. Life is no brief candle for me. It is a sort of splendid torch which I have got hold of for the moment, and I want to make it burn as brightly as possible before handing it on to future generations. Mm-hmm. And that's how I approach both my personal life and my professional life.
Yeah.
And so, like, having the opportunity to say that out loud and to really validate it here with you today, because you've really been a friend to me, and to share that with you, that's the gift, the Anacharam that somebody, John O'Donohue, who's a cat, I always read, and
yeah.
Cool guy, and you're like that soul friend to me since I've come to Kennan.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. That means a lot. And so there's a whole lot to unpack in what you shared there, right? I mean, it's beautiful. And so what drew you to the camera, right? Because that became, you know, the tool, right? The lens.
Yeah.
That, what?
Oh, my God. Why? It's embarrassing to tell you.
No, so why?
Because I'm lazy.
Okay.
Because I used to paint.
Oh.
I used to paint years ago, and I did a lot of Celtic knotwork and different things. And it's like, I call it the lazy painter's way, right? I can go and take a snapshot. I'm not using brushes and paint. I miss paint because it's a completely different medium, but it really is for me the lazy painter way.
Yeah. Okay, well, I think it's beautiful, right? And so, you know, you talk about not understanding much about the camera, but I tell you, I had a photographer friend of mine. He was just a very gifted photographer. And one part of his wisdom to me when I was trying to play, I don't have the gift, right? I don't have the eye. But he would always say, look, it's nothing, it has less to do with the instrument that you have in your hand. It has more to do with the eye and what you're seeing. And that is what's important. And so, you know, you're affirming that. And like, it's very clear to me, like, that you have the gift to be able to just see what is important. And I love I love when you talk about that first light, you know, talking about seeking that first light. Because for me, when I hear you talk about that, what I hear is rebirth. Like, I hear renewal, you know, I hear transformation. You know, we're transforming darkness, transforming the night into day. And that is just, that's what I live for. Like, I want to see that in not only in my own life, but I want to see that in other people's lives. And I want to see that in our community's life. And every time when I look at the pictures and the stuff that go with it, you capture it.
Thank you.
And it's beautiful. And it means a lot.
Thank you. There are two things that popped up when you were saying that. And I thought, number one, if you allow yourself to change, right, then you're not kind of trapped and wearing a coat of shame from something you screwed up yesterday.
Yeah.
But if you allow first light, your first light, when your eyes open up and you allow yourself, okay, this is a new day. I'm going to let myself off the hook. It's not that I'm not going to learn about what I did yesterday, but I'm going to say today's a new day. And I'm going to start to move forward with that and practice a little self-forgiveness, because as human beings, we're horrible with that.
Yeah.
And the other thing I was thinking about when you were talking about the camera, I get asked frequently. I get a direct message, you know, from people. Can you please, I love your photography, Leah. Can you please tell me what kind of camera do you use? And it just makes me laugh every time because, you know, you go to a fancy restaurant, right? You're paying a lot of money. You have a gorgeous dinner, right? And you ask the chef to come out and you say, what is the brand of that oven that you're using, right?
Exactly. Well, there's so many different directions this conversation could go. I mean, I want to talk to you about the difference between photography and painting, because I've done some painting, and I'd like to talk to you about recovery programs and drug and alcohol addiction, but I'm going to go in a different direction. I guess when I look at your photography and I listen to you talk and I read your quotes, it strikes me, I would say that you're a spiritual person. And I wonder if you think of yourself as a spiritual person, and I don't know if you're a religious person, but I wonder if you could talk about the difference between those two things and where you think you would fall and what that means to you.
Oh, my. I'm not sure exactly how I define that with myself, except that I try to be a good person and do the kind thing. And in my office, I have a quote that says that if serving is below you, leadership is above you. And that if you're not willing to do whatever it needs to be done, then you're really not in the right position. And certainly for the organization that I lead now, that I have the gift to lead, that is an honor to work with the people that work at CACS and the people that volunteer at CACS and the people that come to CACS, to just be alongside everybody and to know that I have this one role over here and then everybody's got their place and to understand those things and to respect them. And so I was raised Roman Catholic. My mother is a member of the Third Order Franciscans, and she's pretty strict about it, and she's taught me a lot. But I wouldn't say, I'd say I was a recovering Catholic, and I'm praying that she's not listening to this. So I really, through the years in recovery from drugs and alcohol, you're kind of pushed to find a power greater than alcohol and drugs, right? Because that has ruled your life. So you need to find something to substitute that with. And so you sort of formulate and discover what is spirituality to you. And art has been that for me. Painting, writing, I've composed music, I play instruments. I mean, if I could spend my whole day making art, I would do that. So it's really that thing that connects me, kind of that. My first painting I called the Divine Spark because it was this blue canvas, if you will, and then there was this bright white happening with this energy going on. And for me, years ago, I was like, wow, I have that. And I am not a bad person. I am a good person. And I need to develop and grow that, right? And so I didn't give in to any of the crazy messages that, you know, people pick up in their childhood or pick up from society about who they are in the world. It's just sort of decide who you want to be. And I am the person I've always wanted to become. And it's because I'm clean and sober. And it's because I treat myself kindly and I'm able then to be kind to others. And if there was a religion, I guess kindness is mine. I'm not perfect. Sometimes I'm short. I'm a horrible driver when it comes to patients. And so I've got a lot of room to grow. But the good news is every day I wake up, there's hope for me, right?
It's beautiful. Yeah.
Thank you.
you used the words, you know, a few minutes ago, you know, guilt and shame. And like, and so that I am, the older I get, the more and more convinced I am that those two realities, those two emotions, the guilt and shame, that we all carry them for different things, for myriads of different things. And that those are the things that hold us captive. Those are the things that keep us from being truly set free. To be the people that we were created to be. The language I would use is that God designed us to be, right? You know, that the guilt and the shame speak loudly into our lives and they serve to just press us down. And, you know, and the image that you had talked about with the painting, where this blue canvas, white light, I'm set free. It sounds like for you that you found that the creativity, the photography, the painting, the writing, that all of that creates some kind of spark inside of you that it's restorative. It regenerates. Could you talk for a minute for somebody who might be listening who struggles with the guilt and the shame? What would you say to them about how to find that thing for them? Like you found the camera. What would you say to them about how they might find their thing as they're struggling to find their thing that's going to set them free?
Wow. I've never really been asked about that. So, you know, forgive me if I'm not very eloquent, but as you're speaking about this, and I'm kind of like reaching back and thinking about as I came to, as I realized I carried this coat of shame that I could not take off, and developing a sense of a higher power, something bigger than me and bigger than the alcohol and the drugs and everything else that was wrecking my life. And that was one of them. Shame was one of them. I picked up shame and worry and guilt like a drink and used it against myself. And it's interesting. Time after time, over 37 years now of sobriety, no matter what life has handed me, the answer for me starts with service. And I blew that off. I said, oh, you just want me to go volunteer again somewhere. I can do it. But it really is interesting because as human beings, I know we are self-centered in the extreme. Whether you have a drug and alcohol problem or not, you're self-centered in the extreme. And so service of any kind, whether it's to other human beings or to pets or to pick up litter, whatever the thing is, takes you out of yourself long enough, right, that there's a little sunlight and air that can get in there. And you go, it's not as bad as I thought. Plus, for me personally, I believe that if we're all made in the image of God, is God full of shame and broken and horrible, like I used to think of myself? No, I don't think that about God, so I cannot think that about myself. And so the divine spark is kind of a relative thing. There's this old quote, and I'm not going to get it right, but I'm trying to think of the philosopher. It'll come to me probably afterwards, but he said, the eye with which I see God is the same eye with which God beholds me, and sort of this real connectedness. And that's why I like the Celtic knotwork, for example, because of the interconnectedness of all things. That what I do over here, I think nobody's paying attention and it's not going to matter, actually really does affect somebody over there. And so there's some humility then when you practice a life like that and you say, you know what I do does matter. So I need to be a little more sensitive to that. And so it, you know, it helps calm me down and I go, okay, I can be different. I can be the person I've always wanted to be. So every day I'm given these choices in every different kind of interaction. So it's a very interesting concept, but service has always been the answer to get myself out of these things, out of this horribleness, out of the hopelessness, out of the shame, out of any despair, because it's self-centered. All of that is. And suicide is a tragedy by any other name. It is the most self-centered thing any one of us could attempt. And, you know, I've got 9 suicides in my family history and close friends through the years. And so it's been a lot of reflection about that and about how art pulls me out. And I don't feel overwhelmed and oppressed by the feelings, but I'm revealing myself, right? I'm free, I can breathe. And I'm showing you sides of me with art that I couldn't put into words. Yeah. And only art can do that. Yeah. And it makes me think about that quote from Mary Oliver that's so famous, you know. Finally, Leah, at this age, all these years later, what would you do with your one wild and precious life? What I do right now, today, matters. How I talk to somebody matters. How I treat myself matters. So those are things that are spiritual beacons for me every day. So I'm not sure how to capture that except to say that if kindness was a religion, I think that's what I try to operate with and start here.
I think you captured it beautifully. I like it. I think, you know, when you get yourself out of the way, because like I think you're 100% right. We are hyper self-focused individuals. And like whenever the Spirit grants us wisdom to see that and to see the world just a little bit differently, then great things can happen. You know, I had an experience when I was first diagnosed with cancer back in 2016. I was emotionally, physically, and spiritually a wreck. You know, they had told me I had 2 years to live, and that was it. And I walked into a Best Buy. I was going to get noise canceling headphones so I could tune out the world, and you know, go through my treatments and not have to deal with anybody or anything, just me and my thoughts. And I walked into the Best Buy, and I'm a big guy. Like I'm 6'5". I carry more weight than I ought to. So like I look like I'm big and strong, even when I was, you know, weak with this cancer thing. And I walked in, and the place was packed, and people were bumping into me, and people were knocking me this way and that way, and I felt very weak and very fragile. And I finally grabbed onto a counter where they had a display of, oddly enough, cameras, and I stood there, and I'm holding onto this display, and I'm angry. I am so mad. And inside of me, the rage was, can't you people see? Don't you know what's going on with me? Don't you know what's going on in my life? And that's when the Spirit spoke and just said, well, how can they? They can't know what's going on. They can't know that cancer's eating away at your body. They don't know. All they see is the outside, and you look strong and healthy. And then the next thing the Spirit prompted me was, wonder what's going on in their lives, right? And so then I stood there at that counter for about 15 minutes and just watched each person walk by and ask the question, what's going on in their life? What's the relational damage that's going on in their life? What's the employment pain that's going on in their life? What's the physical pain, you know, going, what diagnosis did they get in the last 2 weeks? And just, I started asking all those questions, and then all of a sudden it was like you said, I got myself out of the way and was looking at these total strangers at Best Buy. I never saw any of them again, but it was all of a sudden I was in a better place,
right?
Because I got myself out of the way, and service does that. Service is a very intentional way where we just say, no, you know what? It's not about me. It's about the other person. And I'm going to be intentional. I think it's beautiful.
You know, you made me think about years ago. So I was seeing these different therapists, right? And I'm telling them these horrible things that happened to me, right? Now, everybody's had horrible, painful things happen to them, right? So I go in and I say, I'm complaining to this guy. I'm like, I can't open the mail. My mail is stacked up. I know there's bills now. I'm in debt. Just, I don't know what to do. Like, and I'm wringing my hands, right? And he says, put your hands out. And so I do, and I'm thinking, my, what wise thing is he going to say to me? Like, and I'm like, yes. And he says, your hands are okay. They're not broken. Go home and open your mail. And I'm like, at first I wanted to punch this guy. And I'm like, how dare you? And I'm like, oh my God, he's right.
Yeah.
Right? Like, how much have I been in my own way in my life? Like, sure, there are things that have happened to me that aren't my fault, that I had nothing to do with, that couldn't be helped. Things that happened to me and around me. But today, what am I doing that's getting in my own way? I mean, I can't sit around and think back, well, it's everybody else's fault.
Yeah.
Like, at what point does a person, and for me, it was like, what point do I stop blaming the universe around me and start to take some responsibility for myself and my circumstances and make myself, my life better? I didn't finish college. I went to college on a theater scholarship, and I ruined that with drinking and drugs. I dropped out of college. I wasn't going to finish. I started working. I moved away to Pittsburgh. I lived there for 24 years, and then I realized in the workforce, damn it, if I don't have a degree, I'm never going to get a raise.
Mm-hmm.
So I went back to school. I got the 4-year degree. I got a legal studies degree because I thought, I really want to be a federal judge and make case law. Right.
Yeah.
I couldn't get into Duquesne University's evening law school. That's the one I wanted to go to because I didn't want to quit my full-time job. And then I had been volunteering and helping organizations with fundraising and events. And I found out there was this Masters of Professional Leadership program that Carlo University was offering. It accelerated 2 years and you're done. So I signed up for that and I did that. And I started a career so long ago now, over 30 years and leading nonprofits and raising money and trying to meet the mission of things. I've helped start nonprofits and I've been on boards. I'm on boards now. And so it's like if you really keep your eyes open, the universe does hand you many opportunities to be selfless. Mm-hmm. And then I really work every day because I'm not perfect. I mean, I'm self-centered some days and selfish, and then I catch myself and I'm like, I really don't like that part about me. So let me do something different. And I do like that every single day is a new beginning, really. Yesterday could be a total loss for whatever reason, but I can start my day out and be different. I'm not the same person that I was when we started this conversation, nor are you. And if I allow for both of us to be different, well, then anything can happen.
Anything can happen. Yeah, I love that. That's beautiful. Yeah. Leah, listen, thank you so much for sharing out of the depth of who you are. And, you know, thank everybody for listening. And I want to encourage you that, you know, early on, Leah talked about seeing the first light, you know, the first light of the morning. And just wherever you are in your life right now, look for that first light. Every day is a new day. Every day the sun comes up, and some days it's brighter than others, but it is there every single day. And so just as you get ready to move through whatever the next day is, whatever the next season of your life is, let me encourage you to be looking for that first light, and then looking for that place of service where you can give of yourself to other people. Because it's in moments like that, as Leah shared, that we truly find out who we are, and we learn to grow into the people that we were created to be. So Leah, I just can't say thank you enough.
I appreciate this. I've never had this kind of conversation. It's been nice to share this with you.
Well, thank you. We're honored and blessed to have you with us. So thank you very much.
Wow.